Harper Audio presents Pack Up Your Troubles by Anne Bennett. Read by Genevieve Swallow. Chapter 1. Maeve Branigan couldn't believe she was actually leaving the little farm in Donegal where she'd lived all of her 18 years. It had been worth the cajoling and pleading, her mother's tears, and her father's bad humour that had made him moody and snappy with them all. She'd survived it all, as well as the old biddies in the parish, who'd prophesied that no good would come of it, and did she think she ought to go, when, after all, she was such a grand help to her mother, for wasn't the woman herself always saying so? Maeve had been brought up to have manners, and it had only been that innate politeness that had stopped her screaming abuse at the interfering old gossips. Did they think she didn't know all that? She was the eldest of seven, and even when Maeve had begun work in the grocery store in the town when she was 14, there had always been a list of chores for her at home. Well, now it was the turn of Kate and Rose Marie, who at 11 and 12 years of age were well able for it. Maeve was sick of being at everyone's beck and call, fed up with the isolated farm and of the suffocating small town where everyone knew everything about you and yours. Her total social life revolved around church activities and the weekly dance, held only in the summer months, where she met boys she'd known for years, as familiar to her as her brothers and just as exciting. Few of them had any ambition and were content to live in Ballyglen all their lives, and expected the wives they would eventually take to be satisfied with that situation too. Maeve decided it wasn't for her. But she wasn't to go to Dublin, or God forbid London, a desperate place altogether, her parents claimed, and where she knew not a soul. No, she was to go to Birmingham, where Maeve's mother Annie, whose maiden name had been O'Toole, had a brother called Michael. Maeve knew of her Uncle Michael, though she'd never met him. He'd been in Birmingham since early 1919, when he'd met and married his English wife, Agnes, in just a couple of months, and had never been home since. Maeve also knew that no obstacles had been put in the way of his leaving his home, but in fact the reverse. He'd served in the British Army in the Great War, and had come back in late 1918 a bitter and disillusioned young man. Ireland was in disarray, the Troubles at their height, and rebel gangs roaming the country. His family, terrified he'd be caught up in it all, had encouraged Michael to accompany a neighbour catching the emigrant boat for England. He'd ended up in Birmingham and had got a job. A grand job, he'd said, in a foundry. But he was still Annie's little brother, and she wrote him regular letters of the family, and now was sure Maeve could lodge with him to see how she liked the place. In fact, Michael had written her a very long, encouraging letter. Not only could she stay with them and welcome, he said, he could even get her a waitressing job in a cafe. He knew the owner, a Greek man by the name of Dolomartis, a good Catholic, and they went to the same church. He'd told Michael his assistant was leaving. Jobs were hard to find, her uncle said, and Maeve couldn't afford to be too choosy. Maeve had no intention of being choosy at all, and at the mention of a job and place to stay, her parents' resistance finally crumbled. Maeve was on her way. They were all there that early spring morning, with the mist still swirling around the hills, to put her on the little rail bus that ran at the bottom of Thomas Branigan's farm to start the first leg of her long journey. She saw her mother holding little Nuala's hand and dabbing at her eyes with her apron, her father, his face still in stiff lines of disapproval, and the others staring at her as if they couldn't quite believe she was going. Maeve knew her father didn't want her to go. In fact, he dreaded it, and in a way she understood why. She knew she had a special place in her father's heart, partly because she looked so like her mother, and also because she was the firstborn. She also knew it had been her mother who'd persuaded her father to allow her to go, and if she hadn't supported her, it would have been far more difficult.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?